You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Many times around Easter, I like to preach on the Apostle Peter and his denying Christ, as well as Judas and his betrayal of the Lord Jesus. So I've been thinking a lot this last week about Peter and Judas. But talk about having a bad day. This is what happened to Peter during his Holy Week. How was your Holy Week this week? Sometimes referred to as Passion Week. If you guys would like to turn with me, let's turn to Luke chapter 22, starting in verse 54. And we're going to be in Luke chapter 24 after that, but let's follow the Apostle Peter. Let's look at how his Passion Week went. Luke chapter 22, verse 54. Okay, starting in verse 54, here we go. Then having arrested Jesus, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." Or, "Women, woman, you're crazy. I've never heard of Jesus Christ." Boy, talk about having a bad week. Can you imagine that? "Woman, you're out of your gourd. I've never heard of Jesus." After a little while, another saw him and said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Or in other words, "I told you already, I've never heard of Jesus Christ." How many times must I have to tell you, "I've never heard of Jesus Christ"? So that's two. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying. I've never heard of Jesus Christ," is what he says. Immediately, while he was speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned to look at Peter. Can't you just picture that? Here he is, and then he turns. Oh, how he must have felt when the Lord Jesus looked at him. And I'll tell you what, I'll bet you any amount of money that you want to bet, the look that was on his face when we looked at him, he looked at him and he loved him. He looked at him and he loved him. Because that's the way he responds to us. He looks, it wasn't steely eyes or looked in anger. He looked and he loved him because he had pity on him. Because we're all so capable of doing this. That's another sermon I like to preach around this time of year is it I? As we sit around here, the communion table, and he says, "One of you is going to betray me," and they all except Peter said, "Is it I?" And the one guy who didn't say it is the one guy who did. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. But can you imagine that? Now, at the crack of dawn, we've got Judas Iscariot. Matthew chapter 27, verse 1. Let me start reading from there now. The tale of two different people, the night before dawn, when they crucified our Lord. Matthew chapter 27, verse 1. Now when morning had come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, or as I like to call him, Pontius Pilates, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, when he saw, you see, and catch how he was deceived. He wasn't expecting this. Look at his response when he sees this. Then Judas, when he had saw that he had been condemned, he was remorseful, brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders and said, I've sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what do we care about that? What's that to us? We don't care about that. That's on your own head. What's that to us? You see to it. So then he threw down, better word here, the Greek word would be, he hurled, like a Nolan Ryan fastball. He hurled the money into the temple, and he went out and hanged himself. And then, as if that's not bad enough, let's get to verse 33, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Much bad, because he was an innocent man. Now, when they had come to the place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of the skull, they gave him sour wine mixed with gall. Gall is the equivalent of oxycodone today. So they gave him sour wine mixed with gall. And when he had tasted it, he would not drink. You see, no oxycodone for Jesus. He wasn't going to have any of that. This would have been something to deaden the pain. He refused it. He was going to feel the pain for our sins. He was going to suffer for all of Paul Esposito's sins. And he was going to feel every last one of them and feel the pain. No sedative. So that he can always relate to us and he can always understand what we're going through. When you cry out to him and say, I'm hurting, he doesn't say, I can't relate. He says, son, the daughter, I can relate. I've been there. I've suffered. I can relate to what you're going through. He knows what you're going through, and he knows how you feel, because he can relate. That's why his favorite name for himself was the Son of Man, not the Son of God, the Son of Man. He can relate to your suffering and your trials and everything that you're going through. Verse 35, then they crucified him, divided his garments, casting lots, so that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. That, by the way, was written down 970 years before it happened. That quotation from Psalm 22, verse 18. They divided. Now, King David wrote this 970 B.C. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Okay, verse 37 here in Matthew. So they put over his head the accusation written against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him. And they wagged their heads and said, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you're the Son of God, then come on down from the cross. Verse 41, likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we'll believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him. You'll notice that quote as well in Psalm 22. That was written 1,000 years before it happened. And it's in the Greek Septuagint Old Testament, 50 years before Jesus Christ. This is on display in the Alexandrian Library, the oldest library in the world, from 250 years BC. For those that say that Christians went in later and added it, that argument won't cut it. 1,000 years before this happened. There's even quotation marks around that. He trusted in God, let him deliver him, if he will now have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. Verse 44, now it was about the sixth hour. and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Now, all this happened on that night and early morning. Now, tradition calls this Friday, but really this is Thursday. It ought to be called Good Thursday. Now, let's pick it up here in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. That's where we're going to spend the rest of this time here. Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Now, Jesus is dead, as far as these travelers knew, whom we're about to catch up to now on the road. They didn't know, or believe at least, that the tomb was empty, and they were on their way back to wherever they came from to return to their old lives. Jesus had died, now they're going back to how they lived before. Things didn't turn out the way that they expected to, so they went back to living the way that they did before. And how many times do we do that as well? Things don't turn out the way that you expect, and then you go back and live like you did before. That's what these guys did. That's what Peter tried doing. What did he say in John chapter 21? I'm going fishing. Luke chapter 24. They didn't know or believe that the tomb was empty. And they're on their way back to wherever they came from. And they're dejected. Oh, to be a fly on the wall. I would love to be part and hear this conversation. Can't you just hear it now? I can't believe he's dead. We thought he was the Messiah, one of them must have said. But he died on Thursday, the other one said. Good gosh, what a weekend, they both probably said. Or, oh man, our taxes are due next week, said one of them. And I thought he was going to do away with state income tax. Verse 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. You see, I'm not making this stuff up. Verse 15, so it was that while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him or they did not recognize him. Their eyes were forcefully restrained from recognizing him. Verse 17, and he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another and you walk and you're all gloomy? In other words, what kind of muck is all this that I hear? What are you guys talking about? Verse 18, then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, are you the only stranger around here? Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? You have not known the things which have happened there in those days? In modern vernacular, he must have said, where have you been living, under some kind of rock or something? Good gosh, don't you know what's happened here in this town? And then the funniest verse in all the Bible, verse 19. So Jesus said to them, what things? Really? I'll tell you why these two didn't recognize him. Jesus was testing them to see what they knew. He was about to test their Bible knowledge. Now here's the rest of their answer to Jesus. And watch the catchphrase here regarding where these guys went wrong, all right? Be on the lookout for a but, B-U-T. Verse 19, so he says to them, what things? So they said, the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. How the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But, look at a but, verse 21. There's a but there. But we were hoping that it was he that was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, today is the third day since these things happened. You see, there's the problem, is there is no but after crucify. There is no but after crucify. This was God's plan all along. Revelation 13 says that Jesus' death and crucifixion was marked out in advance before the foundation of the world. There's no but after crucify. You can't add a but there. See, this is God's plan, is someone has to die. That's God's plan. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Someone has to die and pay the price for this. You can't add a but. Verse 22. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early, they astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying they had also seen a vision of angels who said it was alive. Now there's problem number two, and the word astonish. Why are you surprised? Why are you astonished? Are you astonished that God did not leave his soul in Hades? Have you not read, is what he would say. Why are you surprised at this? I told you it was going to be this way. So that's problem number two. They're astonished. You're astonished at an empty tomb. Really? The Lord Jesus said it would be this way. The question is, where have you been? Okay, now the question is, who's living under that rock now? It's not him. It's you guys that are living under the rock. He told you it was going to be this way. The word of God says it was going to. Why in the world are you surprised at the empty tomb? He said it was going to be this way. Verse 24, and certain of those who were with us, they went to the tomb and found it just like the women had said, but him they did not see. Now, from their perspective, they're bewildered at two things. Number one, that the Messiah had died. Number two, his body was missing. His body was missing. That's where they're surprised at. First, that he had to die. Second, all right, where's his body? His body's not there. Now for his answer to them. Verse 25. Then he said to them, oh, you fools and slow. That's what we used to call kids on the playground back when I was bad. Mental midget. Now he said it, not me. He called them fools. And he said that they were slow. You see, because if you miss out who the Messiah is, oh, man, you're in big trouble if you miss this one. Better get this one right. Who Jesus of Nazareth is, better get this one right. Of all the things you can get wrong, don't get this one wrong, who the Messiah is. Oh, you fools and slow of heart to believe, and all the prophets have spoken. Verse 26, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. All right, first of all, calls them slow. Slow of heart, quite the derogatory term. And he called them fools. Fools for not knowing the word of God. I read the comment recently, the greatest mistake a person could ever make in their life would be to mistake who Jesus is. There's no greater error than that, than guessing wrong there. Now, just last week on Palm Sunday, Jesus said this to his disciples concerning Israel. He said, your enemies will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. So beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, meaning all that Jesus needed was an Old Testament. That's all they had. There was no New Testament then. This was all they had. Now, I can prove all things about the Messiah using their own Bible. You don't even need a New Testament to prove who he is. Now, I own a Bible that right here in this verse has 49 scripture references for this verse alone. It's the greatest margin reference in all of your Bible is next to that verse where he says, beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded on all things concerning himself. And it's important to see on Easter morning, Jesus taught Bible prophecy. Here's a few of these at random. Deuteronomy 18:18. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. Here's my favorite, Micah chapter 5. But you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you will come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Now here's one that must have particularly hit them like a ton of bricks. Psalm 22, written 1,000 years before it happened. The dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and they stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. That's 1,000 years before it happened. Think about it. 1,000 years before it happened, but in their world, that took place on Thursday. That took place on Thursday. And here it is, Sunday. So I got some of these verses here on your handout here, if you guys want to look at that. Beginning at Moses and the prophets. These are the things that the Lord Jesus Christ would have showed them here on the road. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where God says to the devil, he's coming, and he's going to put the hurt on you, devil. The time's coming. Numbers chapter 21, verse 9, he's coming. I see him. He's way off in the distance, but he's coming. Deuteronomy, I just read that. Isaiah chapter 7, his name will be called Wonderful. He'll be born of a virgin. He'll be a suffering servant. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him, where he says, today this verse has been fulfilled in your hearing. That's Isaiah 61, Jeremiah 23, 5, the branch. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, tells you the day of when Palm Sunday is going to be, 605 years in advance. To the day. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, the Messiah is going to flee to Egypt. Micah chapter 5, I just read to you, he's going to come out of Bethlehem. Zechariah chapter 9, on Palm Sunday, you'll know him when he rides into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. That's how you'll know him. And that was written 450 years before it happened. You'll know him when he rides into town riding on a donkey. That's how you'll know him. Now, Daniel wrote that 604 years before it happened. Man, all this stuff was written so that you would know Jesus Christ as Lord. That's the whole purpose of Bible prophecy. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. It says, the king is going to show up at the temple. That's Malachi chapter 3, verse 4. All right, now let's follow this story here all the way to the end. Verse 28. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. I could hear him now saying, shall we keep going? You want to talk a little more? We keep going if you want. Verse 29, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening. The day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he did what we did here. He took bread and broke it and gave it to them. Catch the word then there. Then their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Once they saw that, and he broke the bread, then they recognized him, and then he vanished. You see, it was his hands. It was his hands that revealed who he really is. His hands must have had holes in them. You know, I read a story today in Christianity Today, flashed across my screen. And I said, oh, I don't believe that muck about his hands being nailed and his feet. I'll tell you what, don't believe that muck that they weren't. What's happened to those people? He had holes in his hands due to what I did to him. Now, we'll prove this right here, that he was revealed in the breaking of the bread. Verse 32, so they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us when he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. And they told him about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. That's how they recognize him, by his nail-pierced hands. And this is what the original resurrection day morning looked like. And speaking of the resurrection, never forget, the resurrection is the Christian faith. Today is our Super Bowl. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. This is what sets us apart from everybody else. We serve a risen Savior who is not dead. He's risen from the dead. He's risen from the grave. All right, 4 points here. Number one, Jesus is the only one who has the power to deal with your sin problem. Number two, Jesus paid the penalty and the price for your sins, and the price was his own blood. Blood is required to pay for sins. The good news is the Lord Jesus Christ stepped in and said, I will take your judgment upon myself. That's good news. All that's required of you is to believe. That's it, right? As many as believed him, as many as received him, to them he's given them the right, the power, the authority to become a child of God. All you got to do is believe. He did all the work. All you need to do is believe. Number three, God verified everything Jesus did and said by raising him up from the dead. I mean, I could say anything that he said. That doesn't make me God when I'm still dead. God the Father authenticated every word that Jesus said by raising him up from the dead. Number four, the fourth thing is, neither death nor sin nor the grave will ever have a hold on you if you believe the gospel and receive the Son of God and believe in the resurrection. That's part of the faith. You must believe in the resurrection. You got to believe that death's not the end. There's more to this life after death. We read that in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Now the Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Then he asked the question, do you believe this? There's a generation, though, that's not going to have to die to live. That's the blessed generation that's going to be here on terra firma when he cracks these skies and comes back, and that could be at any time. But he says, whoever lives and believes in me, even if you die and believe in me, shall never die. And he asked the question, do you believe? And I ask you the question, on this resurrection day, do you believe the gospel? Do you believe Jesus Christ? Then go out and spread the good news today, church. Let's pray.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.